But then once the Italians were eliminated, then the Germans came and they put a couple of tanks in the Jewish quarter, and of course we were terrified, and so we kept quiet and away from them. I mean, they did not bother us, really, they didn't. They had the orders not to arouse our fears or something. So in 2-3 days everything was calm. Now we knew that we were in the hands of the Germans. The first thing that they did was to put manifestos that in Italian and in German, and to change our food rations in dual language, and also the picture of everyone in and their religion. So they issued new cards. We were in war, at war, so we had to have booklets of rations in order to be able to obtain food, bread or whatever it is. But in the meantime, we were being bombed by Americans and British who came from nearby island, I believe, Malta or Cyprus or both. So inasmuch we were being bombed, we were praying after the raids, as you said, behind the synagogue. You know, we used to hide, or we used to go to inside the walls that the Crusaders built. That was the shelters. So we used to have a knapsack always ready. And sometimes we spent hours and hours there, especially when there was a full moon. That was the time for bombing. But bombings could happen anytime. In fact, the last one that happened there, the bad one, was the first day of Pesach, 1944. And several Jewish people died because, really, since the Jewish quarter was located very close to the Potsdam embarkation, so we got the works. Homes, people died.
How did the people get rounded up to be deported?
It was very simple. We really acted like a bunch of sheep. Just fear, fear. What can we do when we never had a gun? We were not fighters. First day I'm talking about the first days of July, around the 10th or the 12th, something like that. They asked a truck with loudspeakers. They came to the Jewish neighborhood and they said all the men from 14 years of age up to 60 or so to come to the, now everything was in German, and they need workers to plant vegetables. Alright, so all the men obeying, they went there. My father was the only adult in the family. I had an older brother who left in 1938, along with my aunt, by marriage, Rebecca Levy, whom you met. She and her husband, Moshe Hasson, and my brother, they left directed to Casablanca, Morocco, where his sister, my uncle's sister, my aunt, resided there. However, they could not enter Morocco because they were Italian citizens. At this time already France and Italy had broken relations, so they could not enter. They remained in Tangier, which was an international zone. So from Tangier to Casablanca, I would say it's about, at that time, 4 hours by train, so it was not too far. So they remained there, so that my father was the only eligible man to go and plant vegetables. I had a younger brother who was only 11, so he was not needed. So we hoped that in the evening, we believed that in the evening they would come back home. Instead, they never came back. The following morning, that same truck came with a loudspeaker saying all the women and children should come and present themselves to that headquarters. That was the Italian headquarters, now it became the German headquarters. And don't bring any luggage. By luggage I mean suitcases. Take your knapsacks and any food that you can bring it with you. Of course, whom are we going to ask questions? We were terrified. And somehow we found that it's the best thing is not just to obey. And so we collected everything and we went on our own volition. And oh, there were also that for everyone who is not coming, we will kill men. So who wants to put their father or brother or cousin in jeopardy? So we went there. We were naive, really. We thought that even if we didn't know Narco, we were all in one neighborhood. We were caught there, really. We had no, and we were afraid of harm. Mm-hmm. So why they take 10 men and they kill them? We don't want to have the responsibility of having created the death of other people.
Right.
So we believed what they said and we went there. And they kept us there for 3 days in that big building. We had running water, no food. We had toilets and that's all. And I know by the time we left, most of the toilets were all clogged because people threw their valuables there, gold. Because by this time we realized we were trapped there. And they said that the Germans are going to take us someplace. So don't let them have the gold. First, we walked from that headquarters, which was in the new part of the city, by the Mandraki, you know, by the water, just a little bit inside. I would say about 3 miles from there, at the most 3 miles, to the port of embarkation. They sound the sirens. So there was not a soul inside. You know, when the siren sounded, meant that an air raid is imminent. So there was not a soul inside. But the population of Rhodes, the Italian, my boss, who, as I said, was a fascist, I spoke with him, he was downstairs, many people who were coming and going, Italians, Greeks, anyone. From the windows we could talk to them, we could communicate. They knew the people of Rhodes in the city. You know, they knew that we were there, all of a sudden we disappeared. Naturally, they did not advertise what happened eventually to us. But they knew that the Germans took us away, period. You want to inquire them in Rhodes, I don't know whether you did. What anyone can tell you, as much as they know for sure, that the Germans took them away. This is it. So we were put in boats, 3 small boats there in the galley. It was dirty, it was dark, it smelled of petroleum, and no toilets, nothing, buckets. And we were sitting there like sardines, and waited and waited and waited until night came and we took off.